Started this series last week about things Christians say that we should probably stop saying immediately, and a lot of it comes from the idea that Christians say weird things sometimes. Like, we just say stuff that sounds weird to people who aren't already Christians. Like the one last week that we talked about, the Bible says I believe it, that settles it. We went through that, so I would encourage you, if you did not hear that message, go back and listen to it. Because I believe we ought to just say the Bible says it, and that should start the conversation. Like, yeah, the Bible says that. Now let's go forward. That doesn't settle anything. Let's just talk about what the Bible says. It says all the things, so let's talk about all the things. Because a lot of times that stuff comes out pretty strange to somebody who's not a Christian. They don't understand. They don't have a relationship with Jesus or the church. They're skeptical of the Bible, so why would we say, well, the Bible says it, now I believe it, so that settles it for you too, right? That's what that statement's saying. I think we ought to stop saying that one right away. So I'm concerned for how the things we say are received by people who aren't Christians. That's one side of it. But on the other hand, I also know that we shouldn't care what people think about us, because we believe in Jesus, doggone it. We're not going to apologize for that, right? Like, I believe in Jesus, and I don't care what they think about that. I don't. But on the other hand, how can I share with them the love that Jesus has for them if they've turned me off because of the strange things that I'm saying? Now, think about it. How does it sound to a mom who just lost her baby, God needed another angel? How does that sound? How does that present God to that person? By the way, stop saying that. Stop it. I think we're going to talk about death, dying, that sort of thing in a couple of weeks. But let's get ahead of that one in case something happens between now and then. I'll stop. How does it sound to a person who's going blind or has some sort of degenerative health disease who we tell them, you must have some kind of sin in your life, because if you stopped that sin, you probably wouldn't be having this problem. How does it sound to someone who's praying for healing and they didn't get the answer that they thought they should get, and we say, well, you just didn't have enough faith? How does that sound to somebody who doesn't understand matters of faith? There's some things that in our Christian lingo that we got to get rid of, because it's really harmful to people who are not in our faith. It's damaging. But this one, the one we're going to talk about today, this one, okay, now put yourselves in the shoes of somebody who's never been to Sunday school a day in your life. Like, you didn't grow up in the church, grandma didn't take you to church, you never been to church, you don't have a relationship with Jesus, you have nothing to do with anybody that's a Christian except for what you see on the news about Christians, and that's usually pretty bad. So you have no concept of the Christian faith. And then they hear this. They hear you say, or me say, or somebody say, God told me dot, dot, dot. God told me this. Now, honestly, this is a tricky one. And I want us to handle this delicately, because I feel like I commune with God and we talk. I talk to God. Do you talk to God? Please say yes. I hope that you talk to God. And I hope you listen for God's voice. I have a running dialogue with God. Paul talks in his letter to the Thessalonians, pray without ceasing. So I just kind of have we got a thing going on, me and God. We just got this running dialogue. I tell God thank you for stuff. I tell God when I'm angry at him. I tell him when I don't understand what he's doing. Like, I don't know what you got going on here, God. I don't like it that much. So it is what it is, you know. I try to listen to what God's telling me. Jesus said that sheep know the voice of the shepherd. In this case, it's good to be a sheep, right? Like, it's good. It's okay to be a sheep under the shepherd. We have to listen to hear the voice of Jesus, the shepherd. But put yourself in the shoes of a person who has no relationship with God. There's no deeper understanding, no level of understanding what Christianity is all about. And they hear me say, God told me. And that person thinks I've come completely unhinged, right? They're like, oh, God's talking to you, huh? All right, you're talking to God. Next time you talk to God and you're listening and God's talking to you, why don't you ask God why there's millions of people starving to death on earth? Just ask him that. Oh, God told you you needed to plant some church downtown when there's six other churches in a six-block radius right around where you're going to plant. God told you that? Okay, while you're at it, next time, ask him why my sister died of cancer in childhood. Yeah. God's talking to you, huh? So it's kind of nuts when you think about it from that perspective. Oh, God's talking to you. Okay. But even worse is when we say, God told me, sometimes we do it to justify some pretty odd or strange or harmful things. You all know I like memes, right? Right? I show you memes sometimes. I love the memes. Like, I follow a couple of Christian meme accounts, and there's one, like, a similar one that kind of keeps coming up. There's a boy just arrives to Christian college, okay? And, you know, first week of school, he meets a girl, and he's like, God told me you are the one to be my wife and bear many children. And she's like, what? God has not told me that. You know, it's like trying to manipulate her. God told me we're going to be together. The first pastor I worked with when we moved here would use that line, God told me, he would use that line to recruit people to do ministries within the church. He would tell someone, I prayed for God to give me a name to do, say, children's ministry, for instance, and God gave me your name. And that person would be like flattered, kind of like, ooh, God gave you my name. And then they would say the thing Christians say, I'll pray about it. And he'll say, I already did. I already prayed, and God told me, you. And then what do you do? How do you respond to that? God told me can be used to manipulate and coerce people into doing things they don't want to do. Because when you say that word, you are presuming to have some sort of special insight into what God wants for you, for somebody else. It's a special revelation that God has given this person now to present to the world. Also, they're presuming that the conversation would end at that point. God told me to tell you this. Boom, there's no more argument. Once you play the God card, there's not much left you can do after that point. How can you argue what God says? Now, when one person plays the God card, then that conversation ends. But it can go the other way too. So you can sincerely ask somebody to help you with something or do something, and then they play the God card, and they're like, well, God told me not to. God told me I should not do this thing. And you're like, then what do you do? Like, well, I can't argue with God. I guess we'll both move on to this. Here's another problem with God told me, all right? Now, I'm going to get into some theology with you. If you put this other slide up, I hope you can see it well. This is called the Wesley Quadrilateral, and it's represented in a variety of different ways. I like this one. I've used it as a table legs before, like four legs that hold up a table. This is John Wesley kind of came up with this. This is how we get to theology. We use our experience, our traditions, our reason, and we use Scripture. Those are the four things of the Wesley Quadrilateral. That's how we arrive at theology. And we use these as filters to get through to over there to theology. I thought about using this last week when we talked about how we view Scripture through these lenses. So these are lenses on the screen, and we see the way we get to our understanding of God, which is theology, is through experience, reason, Scripture, and tradition. Thank you. That's my least one, actually. But each individual, we all tend to make one bigger than another, right? So what happens is when we say God told me, what we're doing is elevating experience above everything else. We're making that lens enormous, and we, as a culture, tend to do that anyway. We tend to, in American Christianity, elevate experience above pretty much everything else. And so we view Scripture based on our experience, and we use our reason to understand that Scripture, but our experience of this passage might be different than yours, so we're coloring it with our experience. And then in this particular church, because we are fairly young, we have zero tradition. There's like no tradition in us, so we lack that lens to some extent. So what happens is, though, when we say, God told me, then we're using experience to be a giant lens with all other smaller lenses after that. I felt this way in my heart, and therefore, that was my experience. God told me, I feel like because I felt it, I thought it, now it's God telling me this thing to tell you. God told me elevates experience far above the others. But most of the time, when I hear somebody saying, God told me, this is what's actually happening. The first thing is, it's a stream of consciousness thought, right? God told me, and it may not have been an audible voice, but it was like, it appeared in my head. How many of you have an inner monologue? It's like, some people don't. I just learned that over the last couple of years. Like, some people don't have one. Freaks. No, I'm just kidding. Some people don't have them, but the inner monologue people will know what I'm saying, but your inner monologue is not God, okay? Your inner monologue is just, that's how your brain works. It's you. So the first thing is usually a stream of consciousness thought. The second thing is it's usually unconfirmed by the community. It's never been tested with anybody else. It's unconfirmed. You don't go out and talk to other people about it before delivering, this is what God said to me. You just go and do it. And here's the third thing. It's often meant to show some kind of power or authority. And by that, I mean it elevates self even above what God told me. It's elevating yourself and not elevating God or Jesus. And sometimes this power dynamic gets played out in a call to repentance. The person who is talking gets to point out the sin in somebody else's life and demand them to repent. Yes, that happens in the Bible. It really does. But there's a format for it. It happens in community together. It doesn't happen one-on-one in coffee shops. Never in the Bible does it do that. It happens in community together. But most often in our Newark, Ohio culture, it's the first one and the second one. A stream of consciousness thought that somebody has, they presume it's God talking to them, and it's unconfirmed by the community. We just have it. Like, I hadn't thought. So why do we presume that God is telling us something? Why is this? It really is prevalent in our area that we think God is telling us these things. So why? And I think it's for a few reasons. One, we crave a spiritual connection. We want to have it. We want to show that we have a personal relationship with God through Jesus Christ. So God talks to me. So I get to show that through that. By the way, I'm just going to throw this one extra. Just saying. Do you know there's something that's never used in the Bible, a phrase that's never used in the Bible is personal relationship with Jesus? It's not in there. You can't find it. But that's for another time. Here's another reason. We want a spiritual connection. We want an inarguable reason. We want conversation enders. God told me. Boom. Conversation's over. It's done. And then a third thing is we want to impress people. God told me. Ha ha. God's talking to me. I don't know if he talks to you, but he talks to me. So we want to show that we're close to God. And then I think the last one is just this. We simply want it. We would love to have an audible voice from God. We want to communicate with God. We want that personal word. So what do we do about all that stuff? That's a lot of negativity there. What do we do about it? Let's turn to the Bible. Let's see what the Bible has to say about it. One might think that if we would discover in the Bible which is God's word to us through other human beings that lived long before us, one would think that if God was inspiring that message, that we would see over and over the phrase, God told me, in the Bible, right? But care to guess how many times the phrase, God told me, is used in the Bible? You care to guess? Anybody? Huh? Zero. Goose egg. There's none. It's never used in the Bible. I'll show you one where it's close, but other than that, it does not happen. And yet, it's a phrase I hear Christians say all the time. God told me. However, God did communicate with his people a lot, all right? So let's go through a couple. Moses in the burning bush. Remember that story? That's a big conversation right there. Moses could have come away saying to the people, God told me. He didn't, but he could have because God did tell him. Job in the whirlwind, Elijah in the cave, Samuel in the dark, David through the prophet Nathan, Isaiah with burning coal on his tongue. Y'all, that was serious, okay? Mysterious handwriting on the wall that happened, right? Remember that one? John the Baptist at Jesus' baptism. Saul, who became Paul on the road to Damascus. A group of prophets and teachers were told to set apart and send Barnabas and Paul. I'm going to use that one in a little bit. So look, it happens a bunch in the scripture. God talks to God's people. There is communication going on there, but there's some circumstances around all of those, and I'll run that list for you too. Here's number one. They're unique. Every time God talks to somebody, it's unique. God doesn't use burning bushes every day. Last I heard, nobody was writing on your dining room wall, like mysteriously. Your kids probably have, but like, you know, mysteriously that finger comes and writes the thing. It doesn't happen very often. So it's unique. Secondly, it's for a specific purpose. God was calling these people to act in a redemptive way to impact other people for salvation. All right? Very clear purpose. God was calling these individuals to act redemptively on behalf of his purposes in the world. All right. Specific purpose. Graham Goldsworthy writes about this in Gospel and Wisdom, the book Gospel and Wisdom. Every case of special guidance given to individuals in the Bible has to do with that person's place in the outworking of God's saving purposes. There are no instances in the Bible in which God gives special and specific guidance to the ordinary believing Israelite or Christian in the details of their personal experience. Ooh, that's hard to hear. Now, again, the Bible was recording a lot of those things, and maybe I'll allow for the fact that God would probably talk to individuals. It never got recorded. I'll say that. It's possible. So it is, they're unique, they're for specific purposes, they are obvious, is the next one. It's obvious. It's rare in the Bible that you'll see a still small voice that's what everybody talks about, as if it's some sort of inner monologue and God's just talking all day. That's rare. Rather, in the Bible, it's an audible voice. It's a dream. It's blinding light. It's thunder from heaven. Never in the scripture do we see the voice of God as a flow of spontaneous thought where it's just this download stream of consciousness. It's just not in the Bible. It's not there. And so before you say, but the sheep need to hear and know the voice of the shepherd, yes, I agree. And that's why we're talking about this, so we can discern that, so we can understand how it is that God speaks to us, how it is the Holy Spirit works in us. All right, so I don't know where you're at with this, and maybe you're feeling like either I'm a heretic and probably going to rot in hell. You might think that. I have a case to make here in a minute. I'll get there. Or maybe you're feeling guilty. Like, man, I've used the God card a lot, and maybe I've not been listening properly. Maybe it's something you just should stop saying and forget about what happened in the past. In general, I don't think God talking to us works in the way we presume, but I do think God clearly speaks to us. I just don't think it's fair to presume that God is always singling out the individual to remind us or do certain things. I'll get to that in a second. I've personally had two instances where I could say that I heard from God. Both times, I could argue that it was the result of intense study, praying, thinking, calling out to God for an answer, and then suddenly, unexpectedly, a download of information came. like on two occasions, where it's just, I can tell, one specifically, I was on my sister's couch in Dallas, Texas, and like 5 a.m. in the morning, this download of like, here's how you should do the next 6 years of ministry in your life. And I just put it to work. And our ministry went from 12 teenagers to 40 in 2 months' time. Like, bam, it took off. Relationships were restored. People were healed. It was amazing. And I don't think that was me, because I'm not smart enough to do those things. All right? So I do think God talks to us, but I will say all of the things that I listed for qualifications of how God speaks to us were met in that experience. So I just followed a playbook of what God gave me, and it worked out. So let's go back to the Bible to understand how we can hear God talking to us today. And the number one thing is, excuse me, the Bible itself. We got to go to the Bible. Remember the quadrilateral? Scripture actually should be the primary thing. It should be our biggest one. We know what God says through God's word that God has given us. Here's Hebrews 1:1-2. It says, long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets, but in these last days he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom also he created the world. God used the prophets to talk to the people, not an inner voice, unless it was the prophet himself who was hearing it. And then the author of Hebrews says, these days God speaks to us by Jesus. So we have the prophets, we have Jesus. We have what's in the Old Testament, we have what's in the New Testament. We have the Word of God, we have the living Word of God, we have Jesus. How do we know what Jesus was like? How do we know what Jesus' words are? Through what? The Bible. The Bible. It's all in there. Number one, start with the Bible. Here's the second thing. John 16:13-14, Jesus promises the Holy Spirit to guide us into truth. He says, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, meaning Jesus, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. I think this is where the stream of consciousness thought might come from. Most often when people talk about that stream of consciousness thought, and they're not trying to manipulate people, and they're not trying to promote themselves, they're talking about the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit is guiding them into truth. Jesus said after he left the earth that the Holy Spirit would come to guide us into all truth. The Holy Spirit acts as the voice of God within the hearts of the believers. We have the Holy Spirit within us. Here's John 14:26. The Helper, this is Jesus talking, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. So do you see how in both of these passages, when Jesus is talking about the Holy Spirit, who does the Holy Spirit point to? Jesus. The Holy Spirit will point to Jesus. God telling you something will point to Jesus. That promised Holy Spirit came about 50 days after Jesus' resurrection. You can read about that in Acts chapter 2. It's called Pentecost. We'll celebrate Pentecost here in a couple weeks. Well, we may not actually celebrate it, but the church calendar shows it. The works of the Holy Spirit are mystical, they're amazing, beautiful, mysterious things that happen within the body of Christ. I believe those gifts of the Spirit are still alive and active in the church today. Also another topic for another day. I want to show you one more passage where the Holy Spirit spoke, and it's the only time that I could say, this is where God told me comes into the Scripture. It says in Acts chapter 13, verses 1 through 3, now there were in the church in Antioch prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon, who was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manon, a lifelong friend of Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. So the name, there's prophets and teachers, there's also Barnabas, there's Simeon, Lucius, Manon and Saul, which he becomes Paul, the Apostle Paul. While they were worshiping and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." Then, after fasting and praying, they laid their hands on them and sent them off. All right, now these are the leaders of the church. These are prophets and teachers. There's named people who were bigwigs in the church at the time. Leaders of the church who had been fasting and praying for some time. They'd been fasting and praying together. They're worshiping together. Gathered now together in community. And then together, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me these two men. Together, the Holy Spirit said to them. Then they fasted and prayed some more so they could confirm what the Holy Spirit said. And then they laid hands on Saul and Barnabas and sent them off to their first missionary journey, which eventually became the global church that we're part of today. I think there's something important about fasting and praying to hear the voice of God, to hear the Holy Spirit speak to you. I think there's something about doing it in community and doing it in a redemptive way. The biggest problem with God told me, when I hear it around town, the biggest problem with God told me that it's done alone with authority. They've not done it with other people, and they're doing it with authority over others, when it really should be done in weakness with others. The problem with, I want to run that by you again. The problem with God told me is that it's often done alone with authority. In reality, it should be done in weakness with others. Here's the big rub. I really don't think it's God when you remember to pick up milk at the grocery store. I just don't think so. I just don't think God works on you or in you like that. God gave you an amazing tool for that. It's called your brain. And sometimes it works. And you remember to pick up the milk. If God only worked in our lives by triggering you to remember those kinds of things, then God has never spoken to me once in my entire life. That was meant to be funny. Because I forget stuff all the time. Now, I think I should throw this in here. Philippians chapter 1, verse 3 says, is Paul talking to the Philippians, and he says, I thank my God every time I remember you. I thank my God every time I remember you. And that's language I try to use, because if I say I'm praying for somebody, I want to mean it, but I also don't always remember. And so maybe sometimes God does provide a memory for you so that you can do something redemptive with it. Every time it's pointing to something redemptive in the life of others and points to Jesus. It doesn't remind you about milk on your grocery list. Do you see the difference? Are we getting to a closer conclusion of what it's like to hear the voice of God? So, how can we know if what we are hearing is actually God talking to us, or it's just our brain having our inner monologue that confirms our own desire, or worse, leads us into deception? Because that's another tricky area. We want something to be true, and so we convince ourselves that God is leading us this way, and it turns out it's just deception. So I'll tell you this. God will never tell you anything that doesn't accomplish God's will. All right? It must be on the path of God's will. God's not going to tell you to do something that doesn't accomplish God's purpose. Okay? Secondly, God will never tell you anything that contradicts His word. He's not going to tell you something that goes against the Bible. Thirdly, God's not going to tell you anything that doesn't promote Jesus. Jesus always is number one. So if it doesn't promote Jesus, it's probably not God. And fourthly, God's not going to tell you something that can't be confirmed by other believers. It's got to be confirmed with the community. And so, I'll tell you about that in a minute. Let me flip this and put it a different way. That was all the negatives. Let me put it a positive way. God will tell you things that accomplish God's will. God will tell you things that are confirmed by His Scripture. God will tell you things that promote Jesus. God will tell you things that are confirmed by others, and I want to add two more. God will tell you things that you already have a desire to do. This is also tricky, okay? This is nuanced too. We often use desire as some sort of litmus test of negativity. We think, well, if I actually want to do this thing, then probably I shouldn't, and it's God doesn't want me to, because I actually might get pleasure out of this thing, and I might actually enjoy this thing that I feel like maybe God's calling me to do, so it's probably not God, because I should not enjoy things, right? Is that kind of what we say? Well, God doesn't want me to enjoy it. That's what we're saying when we say that. But really, I think God works in us to enjoy the things, to want to do the things, to love to do the things that God is calling us to do. God doesn't want you to be miserable. So what does God do? When you're fasting and praying, He works in you to change your heart so that you line up with what God wants for you already. So I'm already wanting to do what God wants for me to do. Philippians 2:13 says, it is God who works within you both to will and to do according to His good pleasure. He wants you to want to do it. And then you actually want to do what God wants you to do. That's a good thing. It's not bad to want it and to actually enjoy working under God's will. And here's the last thing. So God wants you to have a desire to do it. And lastly, it's a redemptive action. There will be some call of redemption action for you, not necessarily for somebody else. Because oftentimes our God told me is to blast somebody else and turn their life around. No. All of the ones we see are were for the person themselves. They got to change their own life first before they can change anybody else's. So I think this formula is very consistent with Scripture, and you can rely on these qualifications as safely being something that God has told you. I'll just run them again. It accomplishes God's will. It's confirmed in Scripture. It promotes Jesus. It's confirmed by others. You have a desire to do it, and it's some sort of redemptive action. That's when God is talking to you. So all of that to say, hey, please be really careful when you say the words, God told me. Maybe you don't have to stop saying it altogether, although I would urge you just to cease using that word, those words amongst non-believers. Just stop. It's not helpful. And then maybe when you talk to believers and you feel like God's talking to you and telling you something, I recommend this phrase instead. I think or feel, depending on if thinkers don't usually like to feel, so like that's too soft. I think or feel God may be leading me, ... Could you pray with me to find out if this is the case? And I have started using this because I can get up in my head a lot, and the ideas that I think that I have that are the next hot thing, we're going to do this for the church and it's going to be amazing. As soon as I bring it up to somebody else, they're like, no. Okay, and I thought God was leading me to do that. God said, because I listen to God and I pray. Like, no, you just had an idea. Ideas are great. Confirm it with community first. Talk to somebody about it. I feel like God might be leading me to ... Could you pray with me and confirm this? And if you have a good friend and they think it's dumb, they'll tell you. Yeah, they'll tell you. But please, filter it through those things. And if it doesn't line up, stop saying, God told me. God did not tell you to grab the milk at the grocery store. Your brain actually worked. Celebrate it. As you praise God, my brain worked and I remembered it. That's good too. But I want you to hear God's voice in your life. I think God speaks to you. I think God uses the Holy Spirit to talk to you. He doesn't just talk to me, He talks to you too. And I want you to hear the voice of God in your life. I want to hear God's voice in my life. I want us together to hear the voice of God for us as community, but we have to do it properly, and we have to filter it through what we are, filter what we are hearing to discern and confirm what God has told me and what God has told you. Let's pray. God, we thank you that you do speak to us. We thank you that we hear from you. We thank you that it is even possible to communicate with you. But may we never presume to have some sort of advantage or authority over somebody else when it comes to your voice. We know, Lord, that we should come at this with weakness and surrender, that your strength is made stronger and more prevalent when we are in a position of submission to you. So, God, speak to us. May we hear your voice, but may we hear it in such a way that you are honored and Jesus is lifted high. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Mm-hmm.